Yeah, if you get your Bible, today is April 27, 2025. We'll be going to Colossians chapter 1. We'll read verses 15 through 19 as a text. Praise God. Speak with you briefly here. We're going to let God have his way.
Amen.
Amen. Certainly, he knows what he's doing. Praise God. I'm glad I looked back over there because I was in chapter 2. We should be in chapter 1, verses 15 through 19, just to establish a text talking about the supremacy of Christ, because Christ is preeminent. Amen. Praise God. The supremacy of Christ. Let us get that this morning. Praise God. But the text, are you there?
Amen.
And it reads, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, or dominions, or principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. Let me pause. It's a comma there. It's a comma there. Can I read that again?
Yes, sir.
And he is before all things. Can I use the comma again?
Yes, sir.
Can I go back? Can I bag up and put it in reverse? I know some of y'all reverse lights don't work, but can I bag it up? Can I bag the car up? And he is before all things. I could tarry right there for a little while because that's so important. And if you're going to get this thing, if you're going to still start walking in what God has for you, if the blessings will be released, if you're going to do some greater things, because he said the works that I do, you're going to do these works, even greater works, because I go to the Father. If you understand that all things, he said that, and he is. Somebody say he is.
He is.
He is before all things. If we ever, I could stay right there all day. I could throw away, I could put these notes up, close this book, and talk about if we do that.
Yes.
Somebody say, if I do that.
If I do that.
If we understand and really abide in that he is.
He is.
Oh, that sounds good. He is,
he is
before all things, and by him all things consist. Everything goes through him.
Everything.
And it says, and he is the head of the body. He the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Are you with me now? For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. We're not going to never reach the fullness until we grasp these verses right here. You're gonna miss it. He's before all things, and all things consist. They go through him, because wherever the head goes,
that's right.
The body gonna follow.
That's true.
If I disconnect the head from the body, then the body doesn't exist.
That's right.
And you can't separate because they all together. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are connected. You can't separate one from the other. They all go together because they're one. Three in one? My God.
Amen.
We get so excited about a double up. But three in one? That's power. Somebody say that's power. But if we're ever going to grasp this, that he is, I can't get past that.
Yes.
The car's still right there and out of. He is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Yes, sir.
I got a blessing out of that word consist, because if I understand and I begin to abide in that, Leanna, Sister May, Nunu, and Sister Boone, if I get that, you hear me?
Yeah.
Then I'm going to have consistency. Glory. Yeah. There it is. They go to Revelation. Yeah. Then I'm going to have consistency because I understand that he is preeminent.
That's it.
He is supreme. Huh? Yeah. He has the final say so. And when I say, I might not even use the note. And if he tell me to do it, I'm gonna do it.
Amen.
If he tell me to go over here, I'm gonna go over here. If he tell me to shut my mouth, I'm gonna be quiet. Because if you look at the life of Jesus Christ, everything that he did it because the Father told him to do. He was led, even in the wilderness, that the Bible says that he was led into the wilderness. He didn't make his own decision to go into the wilderness by himself, but everything he did, every place he went, the way he opened up his mouth and communicated with others, he did it because he was led to do it by the Father. That's if we can get that, because we have a tendency, all of us, huh? I'm not gonna say none of y'all, but all of us, we have a tendency to go our own way, and when we get caught up, glory. When we get caught up, there will be some consistency. So when I just want to talk to you about preeminence. That means the fact of surpassing all others, superiority, chief, first place, supremacy, greatness, excellence, distinction, importance, prestige. This one that you, if you get it. That he is before all things, that he number one, he's the greatest. It's up to the uttermost importance, his prestige and his distinction, that he was different from them. And when he came on the scene, like, who is this God man? Who is this man speaking this gospel in this manner? Who is this man that say that he's going to destroy the temple and bring it up 3 days later? They didn't understand, but he had distinction about himself. Right? And so, in order to be filled, he must be preeminent in your life. In order for us. So often we put so many things ahead of the supreme of the earth and heaven, which is Jesus Christ. He is above our spouses, kids, relatives, jobs, hobbies, etc. I can go on and on and on, but all power is in his hands. He is God. Why do I say that? Because there is no way you can separate him from God. John 10:30 says, I and the Father are one. You can't separate that thing. I love the fact that God himself, he spoke everything, it came out of his mouth. He said stars, and there was stars. He said moon, and there was a moon. He spoke it out of his mouth. And a lot of times we be speaking things into our lives and in our homes that doesn't line up with God, and we speak it, and there it is. Because we got power in our tongue, right? And I could speak a thing. We have to learn how to be so positive with our words, even in the midst of adversity, right? Because he said sun, and there was sun. He said earth, and there was earth. He said water and Pacific Ocean and Atlantic Ocean and the Mediterranean and all of these, the Dead Sea and all, and there it was. He said, curtain, come here, curtain. And they call it a firmament in the Bible. Let me not mess nobody up. He said, come here, curtain, and the curtain was in his hand because he got all power in his hand. And he got the curtain and he throwed it up in the sky. And if y'all ever think about what God, how amazing this God that we have, the existence, how things flow in the earth, how it operates so that we can function on the earth, that you won't suffocate the air that you breathe. And the Bible says that you don't even know which way it's coming, but you just know it's blowing upside your head. It got your wig blowing, got your extensions and your braids flowing, and you just feel, oh, that air feels so good.
Don't know which way it's coming. My God,
people of God. We must put God first in all things. Not some things, but all things. The church has been operating apart from God for years. Our thinking toward God is distorted. What do I mean about distorted? Pulled or twisted out of shape. Contorted, giving a misleading or false account or impression. Misrepresented. That's distorted. That breaks that thing down, that distorted word. Because Isaiah 55:8-9, you ought to write these scriptures down. Isaiah 55:8-9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." It definitely takes discipline to assert the God. Man, I'm using some good words. My goodness. Distorted and distinction. And I definitely, it definitely takes discipline to assert the gospel and live by it on a daily basis. What do I mean by assert? It means to state a fact or belief confidently and forcefully. And some of the synonyms to this is to declare or out of your mouth, maintain, submit, advocate, profess, claim, postulate. That's a good word. Proclaim and affirm. If God said it, I believe it. If God said it, I'm going to do it. If God said it, I'm not going to compromise it. Somebody say he's preeminent.
He's preeminent.
Man, I tell you, it's hot in here to me. Maybe I just start hollering and going on. Man, I tell you, shouting and going on. I'm just, glory. Somebody say he's preeminent.
He's preeminent.
I just believe that it starts with love.
Right.
Our love is distorted.
Yeah.
It's based on what we do for each other rather than the agape love. I just want to see people saved. It's not based on color, right? It's not based on the color of your skin. No. Gifts I buy for you, your birthday. Yes, those are expressions of love. But if I don't buy you nothing, does that indicate that I don't love you?
No.
Oh, you don't love me because you didn't buy me that new necklace from Pandora. I didn't get you no new charm and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't mean that I don't love you. So let's look at preeminent. Let's look at love for a minute in Matthew, right? Let's look at it. Go to Matthew chapter 22. Let's look at this. Because I want us to get this. Well, they missed this one. 22 verse 36. We're going to read 36 through 4. I got some more scriptures for you. We like scripture over here because we like to back up what we say.
Right.
Amen. Okay. Oh, my goodness. 22 verses 36 through 40.
Yeah.
Are you there?
Amen.
Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Listen to these disciples. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On those two commandments hang all the law in the prophets." See, that's why I know everything is distorted. I can look at myself and I can look at the conditions of the church and the form of, there it is right here, in the form of godliness, because we'll come to church, we'll sing in the choir, we'll go to shouting and see who can shout the best, be looking over there, see who's shouting, who's getting the most attention. I'm just talking about it. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
We could try to show out who giving the more money and this, that, and the other, but we fail to get the first two things. Yeah. We fail to understand that he is before all things. And when I understand that he is, like when we started in the text, when he's before and he's preeminent and he's before all things, and then what he say? He said in the word, he says, why do y'all call me Lord, Lord, and y'all do not what I say? So they asked him a question, and he says, these are the two things, and everything else hangs off of these two. If you don't get those two, you done already broke all the other ones. See, we break the commandments all the time because we cannot. It seems like we cannot get the first two because we don't like folk. We don't like our spouses. We don't like our children. We don't like our friends. We don't like the next door neighbor. We don't like the dog that's always barking. We don't like the way they gave back our change at the store. We don't all that nonsense. But we say, I love God.
Yeah.
You don't love God? But we can't get those first two. Because if you can't get no first two, you could put a fat F on your paper.
Wow.
You could put a zero on your paper. I'm going to school now.
Wow.
You flunked the exam.
Yeah.
I love God. I love him with all my heart, mind, and soul, getting up here testing line. But you got so much hatred and unforgiveness in your heart. You just mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not none of y'all. Treat folk mean.
My God.
Huh? It's only people that you really like that you'll treat nice. And
right.
They don't never see that mean side of you. But inside your home, you mean and you're
hateful.
Yes,
hateful.
Be cussing and stuff. Not y'all. Everything in life. Every relationship. Every decision. Every thought. Every motive,
yes.
Every intent,
yes.
Every circumstance should be centered on Christ's preeminence.
Yeah.
Can I say it again?
Yes.
Everything in life,
everything.
Every relationship, every decision, every thought, every motive, every intent, every circumstance should be centered on Christ's preeminence. Are you with me now? Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We just be reading scripture and we don't apply it. Because it took me back. I said, God, what happened? He said, what happened was we haven't recovered glory. We haven't recovered from the garden. Because when the serpent came in the garden, he said, your eyes will be open and you will be just like God. And we have been our own gods since the earth has existed. When, I ought to preach that right there down. When are we going to recover from the garden? I'm going to preach that.
Come on.
So we haven't recovered from the garden because we constantly want to be our own gods. But I just said that every thought, every intent, every circumstance, every relationship in life should be centered on the preeminence of Christ. Are you with me now? So when you look at the text, it gives you five things as we break it down of how the text is speaking to us as we look at the text. Not just reading, but we're looking inside the text, talking about the preeminence of Christ. And it says in verse 15, the number one thing was the image of the invisible God. That he lived up to that image.
Yeah,
we were created in that same image.
Yeah,
but we're still trying to be our own God. We're separating ourselves. And God said, what I want to do is I want to sanctify you. I'm going to do you to separate from the things that's going to hinder the progression that I have in place for you. Are you with me now?
Amen.
And then number two, all things have been created by him and for him. That's number two. Number three, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So the image, the things that were created by him and for him. And then number three, nothing comes before him. He is before all things. He before the football game. He before the basketball game. He before the husband. He before the wife. He before the kids. He before all that other stuff that we put before him. Being our own God. I got time. I do that or something. I do that later. I read my Bible later. I meditate later. I pray later. Number four, the head of the body, which is the church. Who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And number five, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. His Father said, man, I done created this heaven and this earth. I done put a curtain in the sky so we won't drown. And then I even put the rainbow in there just as a reminder that I'm not going to flood the earth no more. God's so cool.
He
said, man, but I tell you what. He said, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to sit down, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to put all power in
his
hand.
So
that's what makes so sense about verse 19, which is our fifth point, that for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Because I can't even have access to God unless I go through Jesus Christ.
God, yes,
because when I understand that I put him first, then I'm going to have access to the Father. Because the ultimate goal is to go be with him.
Right.
He said, because in my Father's house, there are many mansions, and if it wasn't so, I wouldn't have never told you. He said, but I go to prepare a place for you, and where I am, you will be also.
Yeah.
In other words, it's not no physical mansion like us, because we're so materialistic that we think we're getting a big old room, a big old mansion with 15 rooms. I can't wait to get my mansion. It's going to have 15 rooms. Grandmama going to be there and Big Mama Nim. We're going to have our mansion full. But what he was saying was it's going to be enough room for everybody. He wanted you to give the image of how big a mansion is and to understand that I got room enough for the 8 billion people that's on the earth. And not only the 8 billion that's still here, but what about the ones that sleep? Because he said it in his word. He said the ones that are dead or the ones that sleeping, he said they're going to rise first, and the ones that be remain, they're going to be caught up. Can you imagine? Because in his will, I believe it's 1 Timothy. I wish somebody go get it. Because in his will, he said, I got enough room for everybody. And my will, it's my will that all men be saved. I believe it's 1 Timothy 2 and 4, somewhere up and down. He said, it's my will that all men be saved.
Who will have all men saved?
What did he say? What did he say?
Who will have all men to be saved?
From the beginning?
Yeah.
Okay.
On two and four. Who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth?
He wants all of us.
All of us.
So you telling me that scripture he's talking to all of us? I got enough room
for billions of people.
I got room for enough for all of y'all. I want all of y'all to be saved. I want all of y'all. Right? So if we are to ever be full and experience that secret place in God, Jesus Christ must be preeminent. We can't allow things to distract us. Well, we got so many distractions. Can we look at some preeminent scriptures before we get ready to go? Because I'm already at the close, in closing. I'm on that last page. I got to read right in closing. But let's look at some scriptures before we close out. Let's look at it. Matthew 3. I want to give y'all some good scriptures. See, this is what I be talking about. Matthew 3 and 11. Let's look at this one first. I'm going to give you 1, 2, 7 scripture. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you there? I indeed baptize you with the water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. See, he was understanding the preeminence of Christ. He said, man, I'm not him. Don't look at me. I'm not the one. He said, but I got one that's supreme, that's going to pull up on y'all. And this thing, what I'm doing, this ain't it. But he going to come and he going to baptize you with that Holy Ghost.
Yes.
He going to really give it to you.
Yes.
Yeah. Then you go to John 3:31. Let's look at that one. Let's look at John. Chapter 3. You know, in that chapter, it started out talking to Nicodemus. Y'all remember? In the beginning of that chapter, if you look at it. John 3:31. Are you there?
Amen.
He that cometh from above is above all.
Right.
Somebody say preeminent.
Preeminent.
Can I read that again?
Yes, sir.
He that cometh from above is above all. He that is on the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. That's preeminence. Okay, let's go to another. Y'all still ain't convinced. Let's go to Acts. Let me take you to Acts right quick. Acts chapter 2. And that started out when the Pentecost had fully came. Verse 36 in that chapter. 2:36. Are you there? Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. In other words, he made him supreme. He made him preeminent. He made him uno nuno. Nuno, how y'all ever you say that? Number one. There's no one. There's number one is number one.
That's it.
Ain't nothing higher than that. Y'all ever looked at when they run a race, how they got the number one, the thing that they step on to get their ribbons and stuff, when they bend down and they put it on? The number one is in the middle.
It's centered.
Oh, y'all.
It's
in the center.
It's in the center.
And it's above. It's above 2 and 3. It sits up high.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked down on number 2
and number 3.
Not in the way we look down on them, because we could be so condescending.
Oh,
not y'all, though. Romans 14:9. These are some good scriptures. My goodness. All y'all do is look in there and study. Pray God. I know y'all be studying all the time and stuff. Are you there? For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. He want to be Lord of our life. And Lord means putting him first. Let him Lord your life. Not hoard your life, but Lord your life. Not hoard over you, but Lord your life and give you a decision. He said, I'm going to give you the best information that's for you and your family and your life and your comings and your goings. Let me be Lord over that. That's why he said, why do y'all call me Lord, Lord? Y'all not letting me be the Lord. Y'all not letting me be Lord. He said, because when I try to give y'all the instructions that I want to give you that's beneficial for you, your success, if you meditate on my word day and night, then you will have good success. Then your ways will be prosperous. I'm trying to be your Lord, but you won't let me be your Lord. You won't let me direct your paths. So why are you calling me Lord, Lord? Because you're still trying to be your own God.
You still listen to what the devil said in the devil is a lie. That you still listen to the devil, what he said in the garden, that your eyes will be open and you will surely be like God. Who told you you was naked?
Who told you that? My God.
Did y'all get it? And we have a recover. I mean, I'm already putting the message together. Hebrews 1 and 4. Are you there? Being made so much better than the angels, as he have by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. His name is above. He say a more excellent name than they. His name is above every name. I don't care what name you call. You call sugar diabetes if you want to. It's above that name. You can call heart disease. It's above that name. You could call gout. It's above that name. You could call cancer. It's above that name. And I know it's confusing because so many people have died of cancer. But we're living this life to live again and that you'll never die. And though you died of cancer, but your new body ain't going to have no cancer. We got to look deeper than the surface because we only here for a little while. Because life is nothing but a vapor. And we're looking at it like God did us wrong. But if you live your life, we're going to leave here somehow. But I read in the Bible that the place that we're striving to go, that we're believing God for, is that there's no more sickness there. My back won't be hurting. My knee won't be hurting. I'm going to be able to see a little bit. I'm going to be able to have 20/20 vision. I'm not going to have no high blood pressure. The sun ain't going to never go down. We're just going to be praising God. So if it's difficult for you to praise God now, man, you might not be, you might be striving to go the wrong place. Because I don't mind lifting up my hands and saying, glory. He's a good God. Hallelujah. No more crying there. Sitting in there whimping in the darkness because you're going through something. Yeah, it's tough sometimes. Life be life. Let's just deal with it. But I don't want to deal with it by myself. I don't want to be my own God. But I got somebody that I can go to even in the midnight hour. It don't matter what time that is. I always have access because I read in the Bible that the bell has already been ringed. I don't have to go to nobody else. I don't have to call and say, hey, pastor, I can go to myself. I can talk to God myself. I can boldly approach his throne with confidence. And I can tell God what I'm going through.
Thank you, Lord. Glory.
Yes, you can.
Hebrews 3 and 3. Hebrews 3 and 3. Oh, they missed this one.
You did. Hebrews.
They sure did. That's on them.
Yep, and don't be counting me, Pastor Preacher
back. I've been there. Chapter 3, verse 3.
Thank you, God.
Are you there?
Yes.
For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who have built the house have more honor than the house. Talking about preeminence. That's all these scriptures talking about. It's just talking about straight preeminence, right?
Preeminent God.
It's preeminent God that we serve. How about Hebrews 8 and 6? Let's look at this one before we get ready to close. See? Are you there? But now have he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Hebrews 8 and 6. But now have he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant,
which was established upon better promises. For it is, but for if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. You could just call on the man Hebrews, it'll bless you so much. Acts, Colossians, Galatians. Just read it. Start in the Gospels and just go on down. Then when you finish that, go back up to the top to Genesis and come back down. You got plenty to read. In closing, there it is right there. I love that right there. In closing, and I've told y'all this before, Leonardo da Vinci. Y'all know he was a famous painter, right? He took a friend to criticize his masterpiece or The Last Supper. Listen to this, Nunu, watch this. And the remark of the friend was, the most striking thing in the picture is the cup. No, hold up, hold up, hold up. Hold up, Nunu, let me get back with you. Hold up, Nunu. Nunu, I want you to get this. Watch this, Nunu. Hold up, Nunu. Here it is right here, Nunu. Leonardo da Vinci took a friend to criticize his masterpiece or The Last Supper. The most striking thing in the picture, what the friend said, is the cup. The artist took his brush and wiped out the cup as he said, nothing in my painting shall attract more attention than the face of my master.
Oh my God.
Boy, that must have been a live cup. That must have been a Bishop Don Juan cup. One of your cups he be holding on. Back in the old dusty pimp. Back in he's still doing. So y'all know Bishop Don Juan, don't y'all?
Yeah.
I know y'all did. You know they be having the pimp cups.
Yeah.
And you, yeah, they be talking, but you be watching that cup in the hand. They be having it with trimmed and gold. And I'm like, man, that's a nice cup. And then everybody want to have a cup. Then they start having the microphones with all the, with the thing on, the little thing like it's a steering wheel, and with the thing and with the strap on it and all that, with the gold on it and all that. And it gets your attention.
It does.
And he said, man, I want you to critique my picture because here it was, the master, the king of kings, the lords of lords, was sitting at the table, and all he could see was the cup, and the cup was taken away of the preeminence of the master. He said, I got to do something about it. I wish we could do something about it. Anything that's getting in the way, I wish we could brush it off. I wish we could get rid of it.
Oh my God. Yes, yes, yes.
I just pray that you'll take out your brush and paint over every distraction. Everything you put before the master. Amen? I hope this was a blessing to you today. May God bless you. May God keep you. 38 minutes.